Hello, this is Pastor Leon Pretorius from Grace Fellowship Sasselburg. Welcome to episode number 10. Now, I see I made a mistake in the previous episode. I called it now episode 10, but it was in fact episode number 9. Now, we are busy asking the question, how is God related to suffering in general? And first of all, we have seen from Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11 that God works all things after the counsel of his will. In other words, he had a plan, a predetermined plan, and he is busy working everything to accomplish his predetermined objectives. First of all, I showed you that God does this by controlling the natural world. We saw that Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2 and 3 very clearly says that Jesus is the one who upholds the world in an active way. Now, I want to show you that God controls random events. In other words, there are no such things as random events in the world. And this is very important for understanding how God is related to suffering in general. Proverbs 16 verse 33, Proverbs 16 verse 33 says, "The lot is cast into the lap." Now, what is the lot? Well, when you flip a coin, you are casting the lot. The lot is cast into the lap. And we know that's a random thing. We are never sure in what side of the coin that lot's going to fall. But listen to what the Bible says. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. In other words, that coin flip is not random. God is involved, and its every decision is from the Lord. You can think of a balloon. When you blow up a balloon and you let it go, it seems to be random, throwing itself all over the place as the wind and the molecules from inside blow out. What seems random is merely random only because we do not have all the information, right? We are not able to say how the molecules and things will react when they come out of the balloon. But the Bible very clearly indicates that nothing is random. Even in that act of the balloon blowing all over the place, God is actively in that event, controlling and working all things after the counsel of his will. Well, Leon, how can you say that to me? Some might object. Well, Matthew 10:29. Jesus says, "You see these birds flying overhead? Not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father." Very important word there. Apart from your Father. There's no random event. He is actively involved in everything that happens. He controls random events. In Exodus 21, verse 12, Moses speaks to the nation. And he says to them, "He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death." Right? That's premeditated murder. Guys, if this happens amongst you, the death penalty is what is righteous and just. Okay? Verse 12. Verse 13. "But if he did not lie in wait for him." In other words, you were in the woods during this time. Perhaps they were not in the woods, were they? They were in the desert. And they were at some oasis, busy chopping wood. And as the one guy chops the wood, his axe head flies off from his axe and hits someone else in the head. And there's an accident. And that other person dies. He wasn't lying in wait for him. It wasn't premeditated. But here's an accident. Listen to how Moses interprets that. "But if he does not lie in wait for him, but God let him fall into his hand, then I will appoint you a place to which he may flee and be safe from the law." Because there was no premeditation, but God let him fall into his hand. In other words, there's no such thing as an accident, an unintended accident. Because from what we learn in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11, God works all things after the counsel of his will. The Bible very clearly says that even these random acts, things like accidents, are not random. God is working all things after the counsel of his will. Judges 9 verse 52. Judges 9 verse 52. There's an incident that happens with a man called Abimelech. In verse 52, they are making war. I'm going to read to you from verse 50. Then Abimelech went to Thebes, and he camped against Thebes and captured it, right? So he was, him and his whole army made war and laid siege to a city called Thebes. But there was a strong tower in the city, in the center of the city. And all the men and women with all the leaders of the city fled there and shut themselves in. And they went up on the roof of the tower. So Abimelech came to the tower and fought against it, and approached the entrance of the tower to burn it with fire. And very clearly, this is Abimelech himself coming, I'm going to burn this place down. Verse 53. But a certain woman threw an upper millstone on Abimelech's head, crushing his skull. Question. This is in the middle of all the chaos that's happening. And this woman is standing on top of this tower. I doubt she's able to see the faces of the men down there. Did she know that it was Abimelech? Did she know when she cast that millstone down on the guy's head who was about to burn the gate? What seems random was from God. But a certain woman threw an upper millstone on Abimelech's head, crushing his skull. Then he called quickly to the young man, his armor bearer, and said to him, draw your sword and kill me, so that it will not be said of me, a woman slew him. So the young man pierced him through, and he died. When the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, each departed to his home. Listen to verse 56, and this is the biblical interpretation of that event. Thus God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done to his father in killing his 70 brothers. Also, God returned all the wickedness of the men of Shechem on their heads, and the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal, came upon them. Very clearly then, this woman, standing on top of that tower, throwing a millstone over, and it falls onto the head of Abimelech, who just happens to be the guy with the torch trying to burn down the tower. This was not a random event, whether she meant it or not. And I'm assuming, perhaps maybe a bit too much, because we don't know, we weren't there. But I'm assuming she wasn't able to see the face. And in all the chaos that was going on, this was really just a woman trying to protect herself and the people in the tower. She doesn't know it was Abimelech, but the Bible says, through her, God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done to his father in killing his 70 brothers. Similarly, in 1 Kings chapter 22, 1 Kings chapter 22, we hear of the wicked king Ahab. He's also going into war. And before he goes, he calls the king so Ahab was the king of Israel, who was in the northern part of Israel, right? He was king of the 10 tribes of Israel in the north. And he calls Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, which is the 2 tribes in the south of Israel. And Jehoshaphat comes to King Ahab to join him in war, in some conquest they were about to go on. And so Jehoshaphat says to the king of Israel, Ahab, look, before we go, we need to find out if the Lord our God will be with us. Do you not have a prophet of the Lord here? And he says, yes, I do, but I don't like him because whenever he comes to prophesy about me, he prophesies evil things. You know, things are not going to be good, not going to turn out good for me when this prophet turns up. And so Jehoshaphat says, look, it's important for us to hear the word of the Lord first. And so when this prophet comes, he does indeed prophesy that Ahab will pass away. He will die. In verse 17 of 1 Kings chapter 22, he says, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep which have no shepherd. Now, Ahab was the shepherd of the sheep, right? And what the prophet is saying through this is, guys, when you go out to war, he's not going to come back. You're going to come back without your shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each of them return to his house in peace. Well, the king Ahab locks Micaiah, that was the prophet, up and says, don't let him out until I come back safely, just to prove that he's not a true prophet. They go out to war. And Ahab actually says to Jehoshaphat, look, man, we're going into war now. Maybe it's a good idea if you keep your raiment and everything else that shows you to be the leader, but I'm going to disguise myself, okay? And then we go into battle. And so people won't know that I'm the king of Israel. But you keep on your robes and people will know that you are the king of Judah. And so he does this and they go into war. And then in verse 34, we read, now a certain man drew his bow at random and he struck the king of Israel in a joint of the armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, that's Ahab, turn around and take me out of the fight, for I'm severely wounded. And then in verse 38, they washed the chariot by the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke. Here is what seems like a random event, but the Lord is controlling it to bring about his predetermined objective. You see, God controls the natural world, and he controls what we would think is random events. God controls all things after the counsel of his will to bring about his predetermined objectives. And what does this have to do with suffering? Well, before we make our final conclusion, there's three more aspects I want you to listen to and look to with me through before we come to our final conclusion of how God is related to suffering in general. I think you can see where we're going with this, that God works all events that produce suffering to bring about his predetermined objectives. Now, until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.